Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, stuck in the middle with you in this crazy partisan left-right. I don't even know how to describe what's going on in this country right now. It's just the most divided I have ever seen this country in my life. And today's hearings are a perfect example of that. But before we discuss numerous different items tonight, including the hearings, I do want to play for you something that I heard a couple days ago.
Trump can be and must be expunged. The hate he has triggered, the Pandora's box he has opened, they will not be so easily destroyed. So, let us brace ourselves. The task is twofold. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured at the ballot box. And then he and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society while we try to rebuild it and to rebuild the world Trump has nearly destroyed by turning it over to a virus. Remember it. Even as we dream of a return to reality and safety and the country for which our forefathers died, that the fight is not just to win an election, but to win it by enough to chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage and then try to clean up what they left. Remember it, even though to remember it means remembering that the fight does not end November 3rd, but in many ways will only begin that day.
Okay, so that's Keith Olbermann, political talk show host, ESPN sports analysis and sportscaster, and an overall total moron and jackass. Complete imbecile and buffoon. Let's just start with, I don't think I've ever heard in my life more stupidity and just incoherent rambling packed into 1 minute and 23 seconds. That's how long that was. It was the most painful 83 seconds I have ever endured from a big mouth, bloviating imbecile. Let's talk about the hate that Trump has triggered, the hate that he triggered. Keith, there was no hate in America before Trump. Trump started hate in America because I've been bombarded by the left with critical race theory and subconscious social bias reprogramming for years now. I've been told that at least for the last decade that America is a hate-filled country founded by racists and built on oppression. I assure you there was no shortage of hate, Keith, before Trump became president. Terrorists. Trump? Trump's a terrorist? I mean, what am I listening to? You know, that's funny. It's funny considering that we no longer, you know, just arbitrarily bomb countries and topple other countries' leadership. Don't you miss the good old days of endless wars and killing people? Ah, don't you miss the good old days when America had to be the world police. Yeah, let's get back to that. Let's get back to bombing country after country, being the world police. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize because of actual peace achievements in the Middle East, because of actually trying to bring countries together. Unlike Obama, who probably was as surprised as the rest of us that he was even nominated, got it just for, hey, you're not George Bush. Here's a peace prize. That's how that was the. I could have got one. I could have gotten one. I met the same criteria Obama met. I guess I didn't win an election to become United States president, but I had also done nothing. Then he went on to bomb more countries than George Bush. Enablers, Pence, Barr, Coney Barrett, prosecuted and convicted? I mean, what kind of deranged maniac are you? For what, you moron? For what? Let's just start with how those people that mentioned right there, just in particular Pence, Barr, and Amy Coney Barrett, are 10 times the person you are by every conceivable measurement, by every single way. And let's just talk about Amy Coney Barrett, prosecuted and convicted. For what? What a terrible person she is. Believes in God, believes in America, believes in the Constitution and freedom, adopted children to give them a better life, respected by everyone before the Democrats started, you know, having another grandstanding charade. Oh, so, I mean, this type of stupidity is just unbearable. It's hard to, hey, listen, if you're out there and you agree with Oberman and you think it was a great thing, call me. I dare you. I dare you. I'll give you 3 or 4 uninterrupted minutes to say whatever you want. I don't care. Call Trump Hitler. Say whatever you want. You won't do it. You know why you won't do it? Because it's indefensible and stupid and disgusting. Oh. Destroyed the world by turning it over to a virus. Are you just stupid or intentionally disingenuous because you know the people that you appeal to are intellectually deficient? I need to honestly ask that question. I'm not sure which one of those things is worse. Our forefathers? You mean those racist murdering slaveholders that founded and built this country on hate and racism? I love how the left constantly demonizes our founding fathers, our forefathers, the everything about American history, up until even recent history, up until now. But then they love to reference them as revered heroes when it's convenient for them, just like the impeachment hearings. It's just despicable to be that type of hypocrite. Oh, okay. So, and let's not forget what he said at the end. What did he say at the end? Just, you know, the fight doesn't end on November 3rd. It just begins. Kind of like how it didn't begin with Trump. And it started long ago with your left-wing idiot professors teaching this Marxist ideology outright and insidiously to another group of left-wing idiot professors that taught another group of left-wing idiot professors until we're teaching the new left-wing idiot professors they're going to teach right now. Have a whole new group of them. I was reading a statistic that talked about college campuses and said that 87% of college professors identify as left or far left. Only 3% identified as conservative. Think about that. You have effectively eliminated free speech on campus. Free thought. And don't tell me I'm some conspiracy theorist. You're blind if you... Listen, does Berkeley burning down everything every time somebody that speaks there that they don't agree with, is that not enough of an example? And it's happening all over the country. Is this, throwing bottles at and attacking and shouting down everyone that thinks differently than them? I know plenty of college students today that just go there and put their head down and try to get through the crap. Try to get through it without even, making an issue so they can just get their degree and get out of there. And then you go beat them in the ballot box. Listen, someone like this really just deserves to, I mean, you know, this type of thought process, I wouldn't even argue with someone like this. Someone like this just needs to be smacked right in the mouth. Let's be serious. That's what they need. They just need a smack right in the mouth. But I'm a free speech purist. So therefore, he's entitled to say whatever he wants. I don't think anybody should sanction him or hurt him, unlike he thinks that the maggots need to be swept off and imprisoned. I believe in free speech. But I'll tell you this, going by the left's definition of hate speech, this could certainly be classified as hate speech. This isn't free speech. This is just hate speech. Now, I don't think that way. But, you know, when you're supposedly on the left, this is like a violation of everything that you guys talk about. Oh, wait, I forgot. You're allowed to be despicable and horrible and say awful things about people you disagree with if you're on the left. So we're going to go on right now, take our first caller. I think we have Bill calling in. Let's see. Bill, you there?
Hey. Yeah, what's up, Will?
How are you, buddy?
Good. Crazy day today. Yeah. Did you hear what Crazy Maisie Hirono said? Amy Coney Barrett?
Yeah, I was going to bring it up.
In front of Amy Coney Barrett's children, she asked if she ever sexually assaulted somebody. How sick is that? How sick and disgusting is that? Well, I mean, it would be one thing if they had some facts that showed that Amy Coney Barrett actually ever sexually assaulted somebody and then they're asking about it. But to bring that question out while her children are sitting behind her, that just shows how despicable. This election is about good versus evil. And I hate to say it, but it's about good versus evil. Everything that they accuse Trump of doing, they do. They accuse him of being a fascistic dictator. Well, look at Whitmer. Look at Cuomo. You know, look at Newsom. Look at all these Democrats. They're fascistic dictators, and they accuse Trump of being a fascistic dictator. It's crazy. And then they got Weekend at Bernie's Biden over here. Bernie Sanders. I mean, the movie Weekend at Bernie's. They got Biden over here. Yesterday, he couldn't even remember the name of Mitt Romney, that Mormon governor, that Mormon senator, governor. Couldn't even remember Romney's name.
All right, well, you're gonna stay with us for a while. Let's play that, actually. Let's play that clip. I have that one. You ready?
Yep.
As you may remember, I got in trouble when we were running against the senator who was a Mormon, the governor, okay? And I took him on.
You know, we have to come together. That's why I'm running. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate. So vote! Vote! Visit iWill.com/Ohio.
Go ahead and explain all of that, Bill.
Okay. So that is the second time during this campaign that Biden has said he's running for senator. You know what? I'll vote for him for senator. Stay away from the freaking White House. You know, he might put his finger on the button when he meets to grab his life alert. So,
But here's Trump commenting on that. Trump had something to say. Hold on.
Sleepy Joe Biden. Not a nice guy, by the way. I have to be honest. Not a nice guy. You know, people say, oh, he's such a nice guy. He had a very bad day today. He had a very bad day. You saw what happened. If I ever had a day like he had today, they'd say it's over. It's over. No, Biden had a bad day. He forgot Mitt Romney's name. He didn't know what state he was in. And he said today he's a proud Democrat running for the U.S. Senate. No, you can't do it. It's the second time. Can you imagine if I did that? Great to be with you. It's great to be a wonderful developer from New York. They'd say, he's out of here. Get him out.
And you know what's funny? Biden forgot Mitt Romney's name, but he didn't forget to be a bigot. He made sure he remembered he was a Mormon. That he remembered. Oh, the Mormon. You know when I was with the Mormon.
I mean that's his character. That's who he is. And you know Biden, his son-in-law, is investing in his son-in-law, who's a doctor and Biden's COVID advisor on the campaign, is investing in coronavirus startups. So here we go again with every member of the Biden family making money off of Joe Biden. This wheel him out there, you know, put a stick up as you know what, and have him stand up and give a speech or two that you write out for him with your cue cards, or you got the earpiece, you know, feeding them words. This really is weekend. This is the weekend of Bernie's candidacy, you know. But and all his son, his daughter, his brother, everybody makes money. You know, his son, who had no experience in energy or no experience in Ukraine, you know, getting appointed to the Burisma board of directors. His brother, who had no experience building homes, is building homes in Iraq. You know, his whole family this is like the Biden Corporation. You know, and they talk about Trump only paid $750 in taxes. No, if you actually look at it, he paid the alternative minimum tax, which is $7.5 million, and Biden pays taxes as an S corporation, so he avoids all payroll taxes. So he pays nothing into Social Security, nothing into Medicare. You know, Biden's a crook, and you have this disgusting media, which props him up. Covers for him, doesn't ask him any questions, or if they do, they feed him the questions in advance, so so Biden's staff can prepare cogent answers, and it's amazing. This could not happen if we had a legitimate press. If we had a legitimate press, Joe Biden would not be the Democrat nominee for president. So hello.
Well, yeah, I'm there, Bill. I was just, you know, I'm sitting here listening to this, and to me, it's so blatantly obvious what's going on. But to so many other people,
and then Nancy Pelosi wants to start. Well, put it this way: when the virus was coming into the United States, the Democrats were pursuing an impeachment. Not meant to actually remove the president from office, because they knew they didn't have a chance in hell of ever removing Donald Trump from office. They knew that when they started. So it was an exercise in futility. And they occupied our House and our Senate just to damage President Trump politically. They knew that's all they were going to accomplish. And what was happening while they were doing this? The coronavirus is making its appearance into this country. Actually, they just came out today. Newly leaked documents show that the first coronavirus-like symptoms in China, in Wuhan, China, occurred in September 2019. So this thing was being unleashed upon the world and into the United States. And did Nancy Pelosi have one of her committees hold hearings on it? And what we should do about it and how we could prevent it? No, she's worried about impeaching the president. Now we have the airlines are about to go under. They just laid off 30,000 airline employees. You got people who can't get PPP loans, right? You got people seriously hurting that need stimulus money from the government so they could pay their bills, so they could feed their families. And what's Nancy doing? She's turning down offers of more than what she asked for with respect to the coronavirus. Why? Because she wants money for the Kennedy Center, and she wants policy guarantees.
And the unbelievable hypocrisy in it is that they'll turn around and, you know, Biden will blame the president for not getting a deal done. When you're asking to hijack the American taxpayer to bail out cities that were run by Democrats, that
and
they allowed them to burn.
And he's willing
that
to do it if
right,
it means
but,
helping the American people.
Yeah.
But he's not
well, you know what?
$800 billion
more to fix cities that were burned down by the left, bailed out by taxpayers. And let's face it, okay, a lot
but
of
he's
the
willing to give that to them. But she wants mail-in voting to be universal. She has this liberal wish list of policies. Even Andrew Yang, former presidential Democrat nominee, Andrew or candidate.
You know,
Andrew
I gotta
Yang,
be honest. I don't hate him.
Stop.
I gotta be honest
Nancy,
about Yang.
Pass the bill. Yeah, but my point is, even Andrew Yang is urging Nancy Pelosi to stop playing politics and to take the deal and pass this bill because people are hurting. Americans are hurting. And what's she doing with her time? She's embarking on another futile gesture where she wants to create a body under Section 4 of the 25th Amendment which would be able to recommend to the Senate to remove a president under the 25th Amendment. Now, in order to get that, just to have the body created, you would have to get a majority of the House, and then you'd have to get a majority of the Senate, and then you'd have to override the veto of the president because President Trump is never going to sign that. He's going to veto it, right? And then let's say she gets that. Let's say she gets this body created, and then she recommends to the Senate, that body recommends to the Senate that they remove President Trump under the 25th Amendment, right? You need 60 Senate seats. You need 60 votes to remove a president. You know what you need to remove a president under the 25th Amendment? You need 2/3 of both houses of Congress. So you need 66 or 67 votes in the Senate. And then what's
yeah, it's the same thing as passing an amendment. It's the same thing as either passing or striking down an amendment
passing
to the Constitution.
Constitutional.
Yeah.
Constitution.
But let's face it, we know
never get 2/3. So what is she doing? She's wasting time that could be spent on helping the American people on more politics and damaging the president of the United States. The whole party
on.
Is despicable. They lost their soul.
Now, hold on. I want to just talk another second about one thing, and I have another call, a couple of the calls, but I did want to ask you a couple questions about Coney Barrett today. Did you see Dick Durbin and talking about the Heller decision where she made the she made the dissenting opinion, and you know right away
yeah.
he wants to talk about you know giving guns back to felons and you know and how. The other side, the majority opinion, believe that it should be, you know, it should be categorical. You have a felony.
Felon or not
and you
felon.
Should, right.
Black or white.
Any type of felon.
All felonies
right.
are equal.
Right, exactly.
First of all, Durbin said, the appellant in the Heller case, said that one out of every five felons goes on to commit violent felonies. Right, and so if you're a felon, you're likely to commit a violent felony. So let's ban you from buying guns in Indiana because you're a felon. One out of every five, that's 20%. That's 20%. And what felonies are we talking about? As Amy Coney Barrett said, we have there are felonies if you sell pigs without a license. If there are felonies, if you return too many returnable bottles, bottles, it's a felony. If you cheat on your state taxes, it's a felony. If someone who cheats on their state taxes, they knowingly maybe hides money or something like that, are they likely to commit a violent felony? All they care about is taking guns out of as many hands as possible.
And well, good luck with that.
Felon sounds bad, But
yeah,
not
except,
all felonies are created.
Yeah, it sounds bad, except when you're paying their restitution or fines so they could vote. It sounds bad when you're until you're restoring the right of 80,000 felons, many of them dangerous and violent ones in Virginia, so that you could get Northam elected governor. It sounds bad only when it's, you know, giving them firearms, but it doesn't sound too bad when you're giving them the right to vote, which will and you know what? I understand. Actually, she was questioned about it today, Coney Barrett. I understand. Like, listen, the Second Amendment is a constitutional amendment. I know that there is an opinion, especially by Justice Ginsburg, that the right to vote is also, you know, considered in that regard because it's mentioned five times in the Constitution, but it is not an amendment.
Right. I mean, Bernie, who's going to be, I forget what position Biden's putting Beto in charge of taking our guns. He's putting.
Imagine that guy trying to take your gun.
He's putting Bernie in charge of our economy. He's putting AOC in charge of the environment. Bernie, who would be our Secretary of the Treasury or the economic advisor under a Biden administration, wants to give the right to vote to Tsarnaev, the Boston Marathon bomber. And he's still in jail, and he's probably going to die in jail if he's not executed. You know, they just overturned the death penalty for him. But, you know, if that's reinstated, you know, he'll be executed. But he's probably going to die in jail, well, unless he gets COVID, in which case the Democrats will want to release him.
Yeah. All right,
you know,
so listen,
they're
I got a couple
releasing,
phone calls.
They're releasing
I'm going to take one of them.
They're releasing.
All
right,
listen,
buddy. I'll
listen just think about
great
it.
Show.
Just think about who votes. Who they're looking to have vote for them, how they're looking to push their elections over the edge, and that should tell you everything you need to know at this point. All right, I'll talk
to you
later, Bill.
Real quick. Rush Limbaugh said today, he goes, you don't think that if Joe Biden wanted to, he could have a rally and have a whole bunch of people to show up, whether he paid them or not? You know why they probably don't have rallies? Because they don't want the photo op of who's going to attend these rallies. The animals and the Antifa and the BLM and, you know, the wackadoos that would attend these rallies. That would be a photo op and be used in every Republican advertisement. Look who you're voting for if you vote Democrat. All right?
That's pretty funny. All right.
I'll leave you there with that.
Thanks,
right,
buddy.
I'll
talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. I think we have another caller here. Let's take another one. We got Brett.
Yes, it is, Will.
The best voice of all my callers. Here he is. What's up? How are you, buddy?
Hey, don't tell me that too often. You know I have an ego already.
Yeah, it's okay. It sounds good, man. I wish I had a voice like that. We'd get popular quick.
Right? Oh, boy, where do we start with this week, aside from the fact that it seems like despite one of the people attempting to bargain right now has been in Washington for God knows how long. The other one's been a businessman for God knows how long. And I swear to God, neither of them know how to negotiate and just say, okay, you want 2.2, I'm offering 1.8. Why don't we just meet in the middle at an even two and call it a day?
That would be too easy.
I mean, I guess you're right. There's no drama in that.
You know what it is? Let's face it, Brett. People don't want to solve issues, especially around election time. Why would you want to solve an issue? The wedge creates votes. You know, you have people on one side of the border wall saying, no, you know, build the wall. They're stealing our jobs, blah, blah, blah. And you have other people on the other side saying, love them and let them in. And Jesus would take care of everybody. And let's face it, these issues create votes, you know, and they want voter turnout. If they solved issues, imagine they solved issues. Imagine everything
was
a controversy.
Politicians solving issues? It's almost like that's what they're supposed to be paid to do.
Right. Imagine that. That's like what they're supposed to do. You know, people – and I got to be honest. I don't have a problem with the debate and the arguing. I mean, that's how this country was founded. It was founded on people arguing and debating. I mean, think about it. You think that a bunch of English guys walked in and said to a bunch of other English guys – hey, you know, we're going to, you know, take over the country and we're going to start our own country, America, and blah, 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 and all the rest of that. No, that's not what happened. You know they walked in.
Oh,
and they
please.
Said,
in this country,
God
like,
save the king.
There is at least
treason.
One major occasion where a brawl broke out on the floor of Congress.
Right. So I have no problem with the arguing and the bickering. But at some time, can we solve some problems? You see, that's the real problem here. It's just it goes on forever. It never ends. And that's the problem we're encountering right now with politics in the United States of America. I mean, I could talk about the same issues that have been around since I was born, right? I mean, we're still talking about abortion. I mean, you know, think about how long we've been talking about abortion for. It's not enough to tell the left it's settled law. We're fine with the Roe versus Wade. The left wants to push it to, well, we need to be able to abort the baby up until the day it's born. I mean, like, and like, at what point is the other side saying that's just savagery? At what point is that, you know, not enough? I mean, why is it not enough to have it in the first trimester? Why do you have to abort a baby
I
up until it's 10,
credence,
9 months old?
I will give credence to part of that in very specific situations. Like something where the fetus dies like 8 months into the pregnancy. Under a lot of places' current laws, the woman would still have to give natural birth or a cesarean section to that.
Right. So you don't
I know that's
to
a really far.
Yeah. No, but I understand that. But and you shouldn't have to carry that to term or, you know, whatever. I understand. Okay. There should be caveats in the law for things like that. All right. And unreasonable people trying to make laws to prohibit that would certainly be disgusting and probably in the minority. But, you know, and I think that, you know, as long as, you know, the heartbeat bills and all the rest of this, listen, if it's within the first trimester, unfortunately, it's been ruled that it's unconstitutional, that it's a person's right to do that up until then. But after that, can we just end this already? It's just, it is where it is right now and leave it there. Okay. And continuing to try to push that to up until the day the baby's born or even after in some cases in a botched abortion or something, it's just despicable. Yeah. And, you know, to keep pushing it is, you know, this issue should be settled law already. We should be done talking about that. Brad, I have like a whole
absolutely.
List of calls.
I mean,
what else?
What
do
about
have
something
else
as simple
first?
As what?
I said I have a whole list of people calling, but do you have something else that you had first? I wanted you to. I remember you mentioned to me once something about the campus. I was talking about it earlier today. What's going on campus with all these calling each other comrade and all the rest of this nonsense?
Oh, yeah. So, like, I don't know if it's just the fact it's an election year or I ended up at, like, a loony school. But early on in the semester, I started a new college to work on my bachelor's degree. And first week there, I lost all desire to continue going to that institution. And I'm basically only there running out the clock so financial aid doesn't screw me over. The first week, I had an assignment where the intro page to this web zine that I had to annotate, mind you, I wasn't aware anybody had actually used the term web zine since about 2003, but hey, you learn something new every day. And the first, you know what, here, let me just pull it up for you. I will read you part of the first paragraph of this thing that I was asked to annotate in class, and when I had some what I felt were fairly reasonable arguments against the opinion being presented to me, I commented on them. I'm like, hey, yeah, no, I disagree with this because, well, quite frankly, some of it's wrong, and other parts of it are like, you can't equate this to that, and you can't go around saying that, oh, hey, all these things are bad. I mean, yes, historically, many things are bad. Don't do them again. Teach people not to do them again. Let's not repeat, you know, a lot of the stuff that happened in the age of colonization in, like, the 1700s and the 1600s and, you know, when Europe was exploring the whole world and deciding.
I think we're pretty safe from a lot of that. I don't see slavery coming back anytime soon in America.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah, in Somalia, it's there.
I got two paragraphs of this to read you. I got two paragraphs of this to read to you, and you can respond as you like. This moment of precarity and disaster reminds us that we cannot rely on the state for our well-being. the legacies of imperialism, capitalism, and patriarchy undergird forms of violence that unevenly expose many in our communities to further risk, rendering people disposable. Yet in this moment, we also see how revolutionary love and care can reshape our world. We see the urgency, necessity, and radical possibilities of decarceration, language justice, healthcare and housing access, economic redistribution, and mutual aid. Our dreams, visions, and desires for an alternative world and future can be realized. We are made of communities with deep collective knowledge of how to care for each other and the earth around us. Together, we can survive and build interdependent communities of resistance.
Okay. All right. Now, let me tell you what I think about that. Two paragraphs full of beautiful stuff, just impractical stuff. Okay, I've just heard it, haven't really had a chance to review it, kind of just hearing it from you over an internet connection, but I'll tell you this. It is very easy to describe some of the problems we have here in the United States. What's hard is to solve them, okay? You think that you, with your little two paragraphs full of Pollyanna bullshit, that you're going to be able to turn around and change the macroeconomic system of not only the United States of America, but pretty much the entire world? Is that what you think? We're all of a sudden, see, listen, it's practical in, I don't know, heaven, maybe. It's practical in utopia, you know, but we live on Earth. I live on this place called Earth. I'd like, you know, those type of people to join us sometime. We live on a place on Earth where we have finite resources, and we will have more, we can produce more resources and more wealth if we have more productivity and more efficiency. And right now, capitalism, mixed with some socialism, I'll agree, a mixed economy, has been the only way to be able to create enough resources to be able to keep even our most poor citizens from being that poor. I mean, and that's a discussion we'll have on another day. We're going to do a whole episode on the deconstructing the Nordic myth of socialism and talking about, you know, what real socialism will look like here in the United States and how it will be a wealth grab, a welfare state, and it'll be just a country full of oligarchs and government. All right, bro. Thanks for calling. You know I love when you call. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you next week.
No, but no worries, man. I'll talk to you next week. I'll send you that thing I read from.
All right. Yes, yes. Email that to me or text it to me. I want to just look at it. And, but you know what? You're trying to condense the, you know, you're trying to espouse the virtues of socialism in a two-paragraph wish list. All right. Send it to me.
All right, later, man.
And later. All right, next we have Mark, and then we're gonna go to Chris. And these are a couple of good ones, so stay tuned. Ready? Yeah, we'll go to Mark.
Hey, Will.
Hey, Mark. What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you? We got an election to win here.
I don't know, man. It's scary. I'm worried.
I wanted to talk about him. I'm not too scared. And you know what? He has a large family. They'll be there for a long time. I don't think they're getting rid of that family for a long time, even if he loses. But I wanted to talk about this. You know, well, you've met me, black guy from the Caribbean, immigrant, came here when my parents started a business, doing well for myself. But I'm really tired of this whole denouncing white supremacy bullshit. I can't take it anymore. Like, I can't hear it. I lose my mind when I hear it now. So today I wrote and I put something to a Democrat friend of mine, and I said to him, if Democrats want Trump to denounce white supremacy, they should do it first. The party of white supremacy, Jim Crow, the KKK, slavery, anti-miscegenation laws, there's an old saying, when you point a finger, there's three pointing back at you.
That's right.
And I don't want to hear anyone, and I don't want to hear anyone's bullshit about the party changed. The party changed to make yourself feel better. Like, I'm like up to. And then another thing is too, this guy, what's his name, Cory Booker, has the nerve to ask the judge if she denounces white supremacy with her two black kids behind her. Like, this, yeah. No one is seeing that this is their narrative to push racism and division. Like, when is enough enough?
You know, Mark, hello? it's yeah, I'm here. I'm listening because, you know, I know you. I met you. The people are listening can't see you, so they don't know. But, you know, you are a black man and like 6'7", by the way. I mean, just a large man,
yeah,
by
six,
the way.
Six,
yeah, okay,
six,
I was going to say.
6'6", 350, yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, I'm pretty big. I'm 6'4", and I'm looking up at you. I don't usually look up at people, but I'll tell you this. You know, I met your family, a lot of wonderful people. But when you first told me, yeah, here, at your wedding, you're like, here, I want to hand out this hat, and you hand me a Make My Wedding Great Again hat, I looked at you like, get out of here. And you were like, yeah, no, because we are now conditioned. We have been conditioned for years. And it's funny that the party of slavery, the party of Jim Crow, not only did they not change, they actually put up a guy that worked with segregationists. A guy
And was
a guy that
wasn't James Eastland. James Eastland was his mentor or something, right?
Right, yeah. And bragged about receiving awards from George Wallace. And his racism is so deep. Just last week, he said, I was able to stay home because black women were stocking the shelves. Black women were stocking the shelves. Imagine me saying this, you know, saying to somebody in an effort to try to pander to them, too, saying to somebody, and then I realized, you know, poor people are just as bright as white people. Like, what kind of?
Yeah.
Just how ingrained in your DNA is the racism? But the amazing part is.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing part is people will turn a blind eye to it. White people just don't even understand it. You want to talk about subconscious racial bias? Joe Biden, you critical race theory? Joe Biden's picture should be on the cover of the book, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
That's subconscious racial bias. Right. And then, so they don't even understand.
Right?
Yeah, corn pop.
Yeah,
corn pop.
Corn pop.
Yeah, Esther Williams. Yeah, Esther Williams. I mean,
yeah.
Come on. His racism.
Did you hear what he said about Romney? Oh, the Mormon governor.
Well, I was mentioning
said,
you weren't. Yeah, you weren't on yet, but I told him he forgot. He forgot Romney's name, but he didn't forget the bigotry.
Yeah.
He remembered he was a Mormon.
Yeah, so I said, I'm waiting for him to slip up and say, yeah, was he peace to the first colored guy?
Oh no, he said something better than that. You don't remember? And we have this, you know, first mainstream. This was back when he was running with VP. We have this first mainstream, articulate, you know, African American, and is clean. You don't remember when he called Obama clean?
Yeah.
Dude,
this was
think about
what
that.
He was doing.
Hold on. You know what?
Wait,
hold on. I got it for you. Hold on. Ready? Here we go.
The first sort of mainstream African American who was articulate and bright and clean, nice looking guy. Mm. I mean, that's a storybook, man.
Yeah. It's a storybook, man. He's the first clean one.
A lot of white people, they're they don't want to know. I guess they're complacent or they just don't care. But I don't know if they see there's a tide changing. I mean, I'm looking at guys like Joe Collins, ready to take Maxine Waters' seat, the other girl, Kim Klasick. There's a lot of black conservatives coming out. Like, we're not going to be quiet anymore. Because I'll tell you what, the most racism I've gotten is from white liberals.
Oh,
white
okay.
liberals and black people.
Well, I was going to say
white
to you, we had this conversation.
People.
Well, of course, white liberals, you know, if you talk to a white liberal, they, you know, and I don't like calling them liberals. Let's just call them what they are, leftists, because to be honest, I think I'm a liberal. You know why I'm a liberal? Because I believe in your absolute right to free speech. I believe in your right to bear an arm. I believe in your right to worship whatever God you want, assemble in public and believe that. I believe in your absolute freedom. So I'm an absolute liberal. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you want to wear a dress. I don't care who you want to marry. I don't care what you want to do with your life. I do care when you impose it upon me, though.
And you know the funny thing is that I don't know if you noticed, I served in the Army right after high school. So, you
thank
know,
you for your service.
I
did not know that.
Thank you. Yeah, I served. And the thing is, I say to myself now, even to this day, I can't stand these are leftist maniacs. But if I had to go back in there, I'll defend their right to be assholes. I can't take away your right to be an asshole. I'll defend it till I die, even if I don't agree with you.
And that's a real liberal.
But from the other side, if you don't agree with them, they're canceling you.
Let me briefly just give you a little synopsis of what I think about that. You see, we're talking about people on the left that really very, you know, we all know that there's a lot of atheism and there's really very little adherence to religion on that side. And I'm not going to come because I'm certainly no Christian zealot or anything. But I'll tell you this. They are emulating religion. They are emulating religious fanatics. And they are creating a structure in their woke mob because they don't have it. Think about what religion really is. It's like a society. Religion is really a society with a dogma, okay? And when people go outside of their little dogma, they're not woke enough, they excommunicate them. I mean, it's a brainwashed mob is what it is. And I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I'm way too smart to be brainwashed. And when we first spoke, you know, we talked about that, who the most you know, racist people were, or the people that gave you the hardest time. And I said to you, listen, you want to talk about having it rough? Try being a middle-aged white guy right now in 2019 in the United States of America.
Oh,
I mean, they just hate you. And then you said to me, you remember what you said? You said, try being a black conservative.
Yeah, that's true.
I said, you know what? That may be actually the actual worst thing to be right now, because if you're a black conservative, not only are you getting bashed by white liberal jerks that think that you're obviously, you're an Uncle Tom and you're brainwashed, but then a lot of people in your own community call you an Uncle Tom and call you brainwashed.
Friends
Uncle and your
Tom,
family.
Coon, you know, sellout. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know you met my parents and I know they're very nice people, but they're not having a nice time with me with this election. I'll tell you the truth. Last election, I was invited to Thanksgiving dinner.
That's crazy. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
21 and 16. So I'm gearing up at Thanksgiving dinner over this year.
And I'm going to tell you why. I don't care what they say about the dog whistles of racism and all the rest of that. There's plenty of demagoguery to go around on both sides. Okay, but I'll tell you this. It's not the president's job to be the social justice warrior and leader, okay? If you understand the executive branch and you understand what the president's job is, I have a hierarchy of priorities on which I vote on, which unfortunately right now only one side meets those priorities, okay? And the president's job, in my opinion, he's the world's diplomat. His job is straightening out asymmetrical trade deals, sovereignty in our border, our military, trying to create jobs, economy.
And not to cut you off. No one even thinks of the fact that this is the first president that hasn't been at war in 20 years. The Democrats, we want to bring the troops home. Trump says, okay, I'm going to sign an executive order, bring them home. No, we don't need to end the war in Afghanistan. What kind of shit is that?
No, how dare you abandon the Kurds, our allies? How dare you abandon the Kurds? Stupidity.
Because
and you know what's
you
funny?
Know what? The world
I talked about that.
The world.
I talked about that in a monologue today, I guess, before you tuned in. That's what I talked about. I said, don't you miss the good old days where America just killed everybody and bombed everything?
Yeah.
And, you know, was the world police and endless wars. And then Obama going on to bomb more guys than the guy before him, and he went on to bomb more guys than the guy before him. And
guy gets a peace prize for throwing a drone party in Pakistan, right?
Yeah, or gets a peace prize for just not being George Bush. Hey, you're not George Bush.
Yeah.
And we were joking around how me and you could both qualify for that peace prize. We could qualify for that. We're not George Bush. Can we have a peace prize? When Trump actually advances, you know, peace in the Middle East and actually tries to bring the two sides together, they'll find a way to criticize and critique him
you know, one more point. So, I mean, obviously you went to my wedding, you know, I'm Jewish, like, big, right? But
yes,
like when, okay. So people are trying to tell me now, oh, Trump is anti-Semitic. He's anti-Semitic, right? I said, he gave his most to a Jew, Ivanka. His grandkids are Jews. Like, what the fuck are these people talking about? Like,
not just that.
To come up with talking points.
Not just that. They're naming streets and train stations in them after Israel, like it's going out of style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When Netanyahu and the Likud party won the their election, they were waving Trump signs next to Netanyahu signs. Yeah, he's a real anti-Semite. Worst anti-Semite in the world.
You know, because you know that whole Syria pipeline that ends in Golan Heights. That's what the real Syria shit was about. That oil pipeline. It ends in Golan Heights. And then when it ended, remember Netanyahu wanted to name Golan Heights Trump Heights or something like that?
Yeah. And then, recognizing Jerusalem. No, he's a real anti-Semite. Yeah, he's only been he's probably only been the best friend to Israel that we've seen since, I don't know, Ronald Reagan? Let's face it. The right is, and it's funny that we have so many Jews that are on the left in this country when the left has treated them notoriously bad all over the world, not just here in the United States. I mean, the Nazi Socialist Party, Stalin. I mean, you could just go on and name leftists that love to kill Jews. But meanwhile, they want to go out there and vote for them. Now, listen, they could accuse me of anti-Semitism for telling the Jewish people how they should think. I analyze politics, okay? And those politics suck. They are contrary to your self-interest. The best friends to Israel and to the Jews in America have been on the right. And the ones that have been trying to undermine them the whole time, including their elections, like when Obama was trying to undermine Netanyahu's election and meddling in that election, their enemies have always come from the left.
They're talking about. I'm like, Obama was intervening. Remember, they're the ones who basically destabilized the whole region.
Obama and
Secretary of State. Yeah, Obama and Libya, Tunisia. It was the whole freaking Middle East at one point.
Even when he bombed Libya, let's say. Listen, I can't disagree with somebody on everything. Destabilizing the region and making it worse than it already was is awful. But you know what? To watch the conservatives bash him for bombing Libya, I'm like, your cries for the war on terror were so loud they were deafening. And, this man's links to terrorism are so vast they hardly need to be stated, okay? And now you have a problem with Obama bombing Libya when it was fine when Reagan was throwing bombs at Libya? I said, you know what, listen. And that's why I have a problem with the whole left-right paradigm in this country. It's fake. It's scripted pseudo-war. Until, Reagan came and made the party his – and now Trump is doing the same thing, coming and making the party his. I could sit here and criticize Trump all day on a million different things. It's just not enough to get me to vote for this clown that has dementia and a woman that is such a hypocrite.
I'm making a blue hat that says "Make Dementia Great Again." I'm gonna wear that one next Sunday.
Send me one. I'm gonna wear it all over the place.
All right, definitely.
Mark.
All right, well.
All right. Thanks for calling, buddy. I'll talk to you next week. I missed you.
Right,
I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Oh, man, talking to Mark. Listen, that guy, I met that guy. He's like 6'6", Jamaican guy, and he turned to me and he said, "Can you hand this out at my wedding?" And he gave me a Make My Wedding Great Again hat. And I looked at him like, get the hell out of here. Crazy. I got to say, I met his whole regardless of what side of the political aisle they were on. He's a political guy. I'm a political guy. I spoke to a lot of people at his wedding about politics that, didn't like Trump and were voting for Hillary. But everybody in that room was very respectful to me, regardless of whether we agreed or not. So I will say that. It's unfortunate to hear about, how this is affecting people's families and Thanksgiving dinners. But, what are we going to do? When's it going to stop? How much more of this are we going to take? All right, next call, we got Chris, who I've been waiting for this call. Here we go, baby.
How you making out, Will?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I could talk about a million things. I don't know what you want to talk about, but I could, I could tell you how Trump's going to win, but, some people aren't going to believe me. I don't know one human that voted for him last time that is not going to vote for him this time. But I know plenty of people that didn't vote for him last time and are voting for him this time. Everybody's so worried about these polls. These polls are like not real. But I wanted to talk to you about that extortion 17. Did you look into that at all? Do you know about that at all?
I barely got to look at it, but I was kind of saving it for you because I was going to plan on, sometimes I get the criticism from listeners that I interrupt too much like Donald Trump. So I was going to just give you some unfettered open airwaves Well, go do your thing.
I could talk about a million things. I mean, I could go off on COVID. I could tell you how
to listen. Well, I want you to start with this one that you were talking about. Let's start there, and then, you know, let's see where we go.
I didn't even know about this till yesterday. I mean, maybe people haven't never heard of this. I never heard of it till yesterday either. It's about a couple of Navy SEALs, 30 or 38 guys, that went down in August of 2011. And I follow a few people on Twitter, and one of them led to somebody else, and all of a sudden there's this woman, and she's talking about it, and she's talking to family members that of guys that died. And the family members never got answers, and they're swearing up and down that the government lied to them, and, you know, Obama and a few other people lied to them. And now it seems like there's a whistleblower. This guy's name is Alan Perreault, if I got it right. I don't know him from a hole in the wall either, but he's a CIA whistleblower. And supposedly, he's got audio. Supposedly, he has video. And I'm like everybody else. I'm waiting for it to come out, and we'll see. But I think we're going to know this guy's name real soon. And the family members, one guy's name was Strange. I saw the father. His last name was Strange. He's swearing that he's spoken to generals that are telling him whatever's going to come out is absolutely positively 100% true. That there's other people ready to back this up, and basically they're saying that our own government sold these guys out. Supposedly they got hit with a missile from the Taliban in the middle of the night. It was like a shot in the dark, and somehow they went down. And I don't know. I want to see where this leads. I mean, like I said, I'm just scratching the surface with this too. I was watching a couple of things. Earlier I was watching something. It's pretty long. I'm going to watch that tonight. But it looks real interesting and real sad. That's what it looks like to me.
Let me ask you a question. Have you been looking at any of these declassified documents and what we might have coming to the forefront here on what happened with fake impeachment and fake collusion and fake Russian and fake everything and attempted coup of a free
election? I look at everything that Catherine Herridge puts out. Catherine Herridge has been putting stuff out. She used to work for Fox. Now she works for CBS. She's on Twitter. And she shows, like, people ask me, how do you know this? Where'd you hear this? Yeah, right. And I'm like, listen, I'm just looking at documents that Catherine Herridge is posting daily, every day, multiple, and she's highlighting stuff like crazy. And,
didn't she just come out with one that said that all the leaks that went to the media and that the FBI was heavily relying on the media to perpetrate this narrative and that they were in collusion? You want to talk about collusion. That there was collusion going on between the FBI and the media in order to to get this story out there?
I mean, yeah. And a lot of people don't like – I mean, I used to watch Fox all the time at night. I would watch Hannity or whatever. And he would have Solomon on, John Solomon, and he would have Sarah Carter on. And they've been talking about this for 3 years, you know. And I'd be like, what do they have to back this up? And they would talk about their sources. But it seems like everything that Catherine Herridge puts out – is verifying everything they've been talking about. And I follow the, you know, Solomon, I look at him on Twitter too, and I look at Sarah Carter, but it's like everything they've been saying is they should get a Pulitzer Prize themselves, because it seems like everything they've said is true. And it looks like all these, the whole Mueller team was up to no good. I mean, everybody thinks this guy Kevin Kleinschmidt was no big deal. This guy Kevin Kleinschmidt that got indicted like 2-3 months ago, he was the head lawyer on Mueller's team. He was not like some flunky, he wasn't some clerk. He was the head guy, you know, and nobody knows his name. It's not a household name. And I don't know if he's in the middle of turning on them right now. I'm not sure, you know, because we don't hear squat. I don't know if anything's happened with Durham. We don't get any leaks. We don't get anything. Hopefully this guy's the real deal. But they indicted Kevin Kleinschmidt like 3 months ago. He was, you know, on Mueller's team for like 2 years. He was the head guy. And we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, I read whatever I can, and yeah, I think they were all up to no good, and it's right. He called it a hoax, and know what? He was right.
Everything I've read, okay, and everything, and I could go into some deep stuff actually with some of the declassified documents and what's going on, but with Christopher Steele, the 53 House Intel interviews. There was an article I was reading about 10 of the biggest bombshells that could come out of these declassified documents. The Stephen Halper documents, the 2016 FBI email chain, Page and Papadopoulos exculpatory statements, just all of these things. But let me ask you a question. With what's so blatantly obvious you know, I know their scams are complicated and deep, the Democrats, okay? And they, you know, and it's the irony of these people that have always told us about these deep state, you know, operatives and these deep state, you know, conspiracies. All of a sudden, we're telling us, ah, there's no deep state, nothing. What are you talking about? It's amazing. Like, I was told George Bush used to sell crack in the cities. I was told that, you know, that George Bush knocked down the World Trade Center, his son. I was all kinds of deep state conspiracy theories. And then all of a sudden, when one really involved just Democrats, outright coup, I was told that there's no such thing as a deep state and you're a crazy person. It was amazing how they flipped the script.
I had a good friend of mine. I still do. He was telling me about the deep state 2 years ago. He's talking to me all the time about deep state. And I'm like, I love you, Carlo, but I was just like, you out of your mind, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't really start buying into any of this till around January. And then I, you know, one thing led to another, and I'm just reading and learning. And then I'm watching what, you know, one day it's on the internet and you can read it, and the next day it's wiped out. And it's like, why are they taking all this crap down? Why are they, you know, why are they pulling stuff down? It's, you know, even a lot of that QAnon stuff, a lot of people think that's, you know, it's science fiction and it's, you know, it's Bigfoot. It's not. There's a lot of stuff on there that has verified. And I'm like, geez, you know, maybe these other people have it right. Maybe we're the ones that are, you know, like I always say, when does conspiracy become reality? And it's happening right now. It's like, you know, the crazy people are starting to look pretty sane right now. It's
Well, I mean, we could go back, you know, 70 years, and we could talk about, you know, Roy Cohn and Senator McCarthy saying that the communist invasion in this country was to sneak into our educational system and start to indoctrinate our youth and then to beat us from within. This is literally their entire platform. And, you know, you're crazy. And then we actually wrote books about the witch hunt that was, you know, the communist, you know, witch hunt from McCarthy and Cohn. And today we're watching it all unfold. And sometimes I think to myself, were they right? I mean, were we just were they ahead of their time?
You know, everybody thinks Kennedy got shot by, you know, the Gresh, you know. And you know what? Now in retrospect, I mean, you listen to that. I tell my friends all the time, and sometimes I post it on Facebook. I don't know. He did that one speech about infiltration without invasion. And if you listen to that speech and you close your eyes, it's exactly what's happening today. I mean, I think that speech is one of the reasons he got killed. He got killed not too long after that. But he was talking about the newspapers just doing their job and not being biased. And he was talking about the deep state. I mean, if you listen to the words, he was talking about people in the government. I mean, I think they did him in. I never thought our own people would have killed Kennedy. Yeah, you're out of your mind. No, I really think our own people knocked Kennedy off. I think it happened. I think they knew about it. You know, it sounds a little nuts. I get it. But I really think that's what
you know,
happened.
I actually, the more I think about people that say things like the greater good, the more I think that agenda is evil. You know, when I start to hear the greater good, that's what I always hear from the left. It's for the greater good. So what would be sacrificing one man for the greater good? No matter how much he was loved and adored, you could sit there and make the argument that his death will make him more revered, make him more of a sacrifice, make him more of a martyr. You know, it will make him really ingrained forever in world history and will only make him more of a symbol. So this greater good philosophy that the left seems to hold so dear for tearing down everything and trying to rip our country apart and rewrite our constitution scares me, because then you don't know to what levels of depravity they will go in order to topple our democracy. But I wanted to ask you real quick, like these things that you're talking about, like with the extortion 17, and I know that was like a book, wasn't it?
I think it was a book also, but like I said, I'm just learning about it now myself. It all happened last night. I started watching the video, and then earlier today I was watching another video about what the woman was talking about last night with the dad, and I'm sure there's a lot of stuff out there, but I'm going to get more familiar with it now. But I think we're going to be hearing about it soon. I mean, she's swearing there's videos and audio that's going to come out, and there's documents. They're going to verify what they're talking about, and there's all these parents of these guys that were killed, you know, that didn't get answers. I mean, one father was saying his son got burnt to death, that they were unrecognizable. And the next scene, they're getting the body back, and he's fine. And they were lied to about a lot of things, and we're gonna see. But I don't know. You might even know more about it than me, Will.
Yeah, and I was looking at a couple things. I know it was a book, and I know it was like about SEAL Team 6, and I know that there's some conspiracy there. But you know, I wanted to also talk about things like, you know, Project Veritas, what you're talking about here with the SEAL Team 6, you know,
mm-hmm.
but what we think is going on behind the scenes with Mueller and Comey and Russian collusion. I mean, how come these things never get any traction? How come Benghazi never get any traction? Because then it starts to make you think, even with someone like Barr in the White House, I mean, as the AG, you have friendly people around that could, you know, bring charges. How come none of it gets any traction? Is it just – maybe it is
some
right-wing rhetoric.
I tell everybody the same thing. I don't think it's red against blue. I don't think it's Republican against Democrat. I think there's a lot of – I think Kennedy was right. I think it's infiltration without invasion. I think there's a lot of bad people on both sides. I think some of these guys – you know, some of these Republican guys that people say, oh, they like this one or that – I don't know who – right now I don't think we know who to believe and who to trust, and they've all been entrenched for so long. Like, this just didn't happen 3 years ago. This has been going on for – you know, if it's been going around since Kennedy. Deep State's been around a long time. I really think Kennedy was going to expose it or do something. I mean, Flynn was going to do something about it. Flynn was going to – he was going to revamp the CIA. He was going to revamp the FBI, and they got – that's why they got rid of Flynn. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I can't wait till this guy gets out and he's able to talk. You know that. I write that all the time.
Yeah,
I can't wait
till
they take the muzzle off of him. But
I see, you know, and COVID. I did want to ask you about COVID because I know that you are always posting about, you know, CDC changing their, story and, reality of the numbers. I wanted you to lay out
a whole. My old man was sick, not with COVID. I had to go visit him in all these places, and I had to deal with all these rules. And I could basically tell you, I live in Rockland County. I follow it religiously, the numbers. And early on, I was seeing how they didn't just adjust the numbers. They manipulated the numbers. They didn't just change like, oh, they got some. It was like they made no sense from day to day. The numbers would change every other day. And it just. But basically, I live in Rockland County. There's 325,000 people that live up here. All right? And I say to somebody, my neighbor, friends of mine, how many people you think died of COVID in the last 3 months? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, a guess. Give me a guess. There's 325,000 here. And they'll say, I don't know, 4,000? And I say, nah. And they say, how many? I say, one. Oh, they go, 1,000? I said, no, one person. One single person in the last 3 months has died of COVID in Rockland County, yet the whole world is shut down. And these numbers are happening everywhere. It's not just Rockland County. The numbers are going up because they're testing more people, and the numbers are going to go up when you test more people. But less people are dying. Then the percentage
right, well,
of death
if,
is going down. So it makes zero sense.
If the testing goes up, right, and the hospitalizations don't change, and you get more positive test results, so that's obviously going to lead to less lethality and less mortality rate. I mean, it's going to be a much lower mortality rate the more you
not
find
only
out.
That, Will, early on, when they had all these freezers outside, these refrigerators, and they were overwhelmed, and these people were losing their minds, and they didn't have any, the bottom line was everybody was dying of COVID. Every case was being called COVID. Even if you've died of – I know people – somebody we know died from – they had a week to live. They were in hospice. They labeled it COVID. All right? Some of these people weren't even tested after the fact. But a lot of these people were dying of COVID. They labeled everything COVID, and then they weren't even allowed to embalm them. They weren't even allowed to do the – that's why they got overwhelmed.
That's what I was going to say. They weren't allowed to embalm them. They weren't allowed to bury them. They weren't allowed to have funerals. And they, of course, the bodies are going to pile up. You didn't have to have COVID. If you just shut down all the funeral homes and none of the funeral homes were allowed to take the bodies out of the morgue and the bodies in the morgue weren't processed and they were just piling up, of course you're going to have people pile up. It didn't matter what they died from. They could have been having heart attacks and cancer.
Correct.
I actually – and I know it's anecdotal evidence and the empirical evidence people, which is fine with me. I'm an empirical evidence person to tell you myself. But just an anecdotal evidence, I have a friend that has GERD, and he gets, when he doesn't take his medication, he gets the acid reflux, and sometimes he'll, when he gets that type of acid reflux, he could breathe in a little bit of the acid, and it causes pneumonia. And he's had it several times. And it happened to him during COVID outbreak, you know, around April, March, April time, right? So he goes to have an MRI of the chest. His doctor already knew what it was, what type of pneumonia it was and where it came from. And when he got the scan results back from Zwanger Pesiri, he got the COVID pneumonia diagnosis. And he just went off. He's like, I don't have COVID. I wasn't tested for COVID. I've got this pneumonia several times. My doctor just wanted to make sure I had pneumonia. And, you know, because I've had it so many times, I told him that I'm pretty sure I have it. We know what it's from. And you just gave me COVID because everybody was getting COVID. And the numbers. And you know what the funny thing is? In New York, we had supposedly 32,000 deaths. We have more deaths than most countries, okay? In New York, we have more deaths than California and Texas combined. And I will literally see idiots say what a great job Cuomo did. I'm like, by what metric did he do a good job? I mean,
he sent all these people back. Yeah.
We have more deaths than most countries.
The majority of those deaths came from the five states. That, you know, they came from Pennsylvania. They came from New York. 40% of the deaths. They all came from the homes. The majority of them came from the old age home, where he sent them back, which made zero sense because these administrators were even saying, don't send them back here. We don't want them here. You know, that's you get these other people are susceptible to it. And meanwhile, you had the comfort. Like people tell me, oh, the comfort wasn't ready. They weren't going to take patients. They were going to take patients on the comfort. Initially, they weren't, but then they were because I think they had a screw up. They weren't screening people properly. However, it went down. They said they were going to, and they still didn't go there. Central Park was sitting there. Even though that was triage, it still was somewhere to send these people. They didn't go there. The Javits Center, I think, saw. I don't even know how many people they saw.
He had a whole boat sent to him. He had
a
gigantic.
The comfort.
He had a Javits Center converted. Meanwhile, he has to send infected people to who any idiot knows is the most vulnerable of the population, right? And then somehow dodge responsibility. I was having a huge Facebook argument with these people that are trying to justify. I'm like, so wait, hold on. Let me get this straight. So Donald Trump killed 200,000 people, but Cuomo did a good job. Okay, because I'm trying to understand your demented logic. It just doesn't make any sense. We have doubled the amount of deaths as the next state behind us, whether it's California or Texas. I don't know right now, but they're always on the cusp of each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have as many deaths as both of those two combined, and you're trying to tell me that he did a good job? And another thing, if I'm supposed to believe that Joe Biden said we'll close down the economy, we'll keep it closed longer, and we'll shut down travel to and from China later, if at all. You know, I don't know if he would have shut it down at all, especially since his son took $1.5 billion to invest.
No, they would never
invest
shut it.
Right, of course not. He's China's bitch, let's face it, okay? So he was going – so you're just going to tell me that he was going to shut down borders, if at all, definitely later, and he was going to open up the economy slower with more restrictions. And somehow you expect me to believe that that logically lends itself to having less deaths and a better economy? Like, I don't know. Maybe the people that vote for you are stupid, but I'm certainly not stupid. So for them, because they only want to talk about the election – you know, and the debates with Trump and the debates with the vice president, they only have a window that they could talk about from March or February or even January until now. They can only talk about 2020. They don't want to talk about record low unemployment or Latinos.
They can't.
Blacks and Americans
They want to talk about there's no jobs. You know, they're stopping the people from going back to work. They
right.
want to talk about the economy in these states, but the economy's hurting in these states because these governors are, you know, are imbeciles. They want it to be a talking point. They want it to be a sticking point to stick it to Trump. It's unbelievable. Meanwhile, the market's still over 28, almost going to hit 29. It's insane. It's insane.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe Biden did in a smart way today, finally, something that, you know, it's going to appeal to his base. I'm not stupid, but, you know, it'll appeal to his people. He said, you know, Trump only cares about the stock market because his only view from Park Avenue is Wall Street. And, I mean, you know, it's pretty witty and pretty quick for a guy that's half, you know, brain dead. But I'll say, you know, and he's definitely trying to paint the picture of, you know, by any other metric, the economy is doing terrible except Wall Street. And, you know, that's mostly because of all of this hysteria and Democrat chaos. I mean, it's Democrat governors that are shutting everything down. It's the Democrat governors
Cuomo
and mayors.
He's going to be begging these people to come back, these businesses, and they're not coming back. These people are leaving in droves. It's not a lie. It's not a fairy tale. They're leaving in droves. They're begging people to stay. These management groups are begging people to stay in the buildings, whether you live there or rent there, an office space. My cousin, these people are working from home now. He doesn't need the office space that he had. So he said, you know what? I think I'm going to move. They offered him, a space down, a few floors down, smaller, at a much lesser rate, and the same thing for his apartment. They're begging him not to move. And they're giving him tremendous discounts, and they're giving him 2 months free rent. But these people are leaving in droves, and they're not coming back. My other cousin lives by Central Park. She works in Queens. She doesn't even park a car by her house because she's worried it's going to get damaged because of all these imbeciles running around the city. She leaves her car in Queens. She can't even park by her house.
Wow.
So she's worried her car's going to get messed up.
You know, the funny thing is they're moving out, and a lot of them, the wealthy ones at least, are moving out to, their summer homes on the island and everything. So they're coming out here with me, where I am, you know what I mean? And they're coming out here, and they're going to bring this stupid left-wing commie voting mentality with them and break everything out here. I don't understand why people think this way. If you want to understand why things turn to shit, look at your leadership. Chicago, if you want to know why Chicago is shit and why everybody's getting murdered over there and why everything's falling apart, look at your leadership. There hasn't been a Republican within 70 miles of Chicago, and I don't even know how long, since 1930-something. Okay, if you want to look at why Baltimore is a decrepit pile of shit, then look at your leadership. Another city that's been ravaged by Democrat leadership. And then you continue to vote for them. Like, I'm just trying. Like, if Kim Kalish doesn't win over there in Baltimore, I don't know what else to say to these people. Okay, if you're a racist,
Black Lives Matter. Black Lives don't matter in either one of those places. They don't care about Chicago. They haven't for years. It doesn't matter.
Especially, let's say Kim, for example. Right, she's a black woman. Okay, an educated woman. Wonderful. Beautiful woman in all ways. Sounds great. Everything she says, logical, to the point, sharp. And somehow, that's not what they want. Somehow, somebody will tell them that that's not what they want. She's an Uncle Tom. She's a coon or whatever else they'll call her. Whatever other type of derogatory word they'll call her. And then they'll talk about white supremacy. I mean, it's just mind-boggling the level of stupidity that's going on in this country. And you know what? Let's be honest. I got to be honest. I don't care. Because I don't live in that neighborhood.
Right.
You should be worried about your own neighborhood, okay? You should be worried about the people that are running your cities into the ground. I don't know what else I can do for you. My tax dollars go from my area over here where I am into other parts of this state that are much more, have much less tax dollars and much less tax liabilities. And we're funding these areas, and then you're burning them down, and guess who you're going to ask for the money again?
Yeah,
it's going to come from here.
But
yeah.
The good news is your property values are going up because all these people are running from Manhattan, and they're moving either to Long Island or they're running to Westchester. Or they're running to another state, whether they're going to Delaware. They're not staying in Manhattan. So.
Yeah. So the more that my property value's at, I already pay $17,000 a year in property
tax.
How much more than
I get? I understand. Believe me.
All right, brother. It was good talking to you. I hope that you give me a call again.
Good talking to you, man.
Take it easy, Chris.
Enjoy the night.
All right.
I'll see you.
You too. Well, we did have quite a few good calls tonight, I gotta say, and we have a couple more things I want to talk about. But if anybody, I had a couple people message me on our message board that they couldn't get through. If you're listening and you want to get through, we have a few minutes left. Call us at 914-205-5369, 914-205-5369. Give us a call. But before we get into that, I do want to speak about Ocasio-Cortez. Probably one of my favorite things to talk about. I'm not mad at Ocasio-Cortez. I don't hate Ocasio-Cortez. That'd be like hating somebody that has brain damage. Okay, I don't hate her for being dumb. I do dislike the people that are voting for her. I mean, how do you vote for this? What are you thinking? Anyway, her next, her last little spout of idiocy she had, said she said that Republicans would reject Jesus Christ if he came to the floor of Congress. They would reject Jesus Christ and his teachings. And to be fair, she was talking about, obviously, this virtuous socialist ideals that she holds. And that, you know, we would call him the left-wing nut job. And I guess in some ways, she may have some points. But let's talk about that for a second. So Jesus would be chastised by the Republicans, and he would be rejected by the Republicans if he came to the floor of Congress. Well, I just want to ask you, how would Jesus feel about abortion, especially like late-term abortion? Like, it's like a person at this point? You think Jesus would really think that you were on the right side of things? You want to bring up Jesus? You want to talk about Jesus, really? You want to talk about Jesus? I love when the left talks about Jesus. It's just completely insane. How do you think he would feel about, you know, trying to lower the criminal penalty for the pedophiles in California? That California just passed a law to, you know, make it less of an offense to have sex with underage kids. How do you think he'd feel about that? Huh? How do you think he would feel about transvestites reading to my children at the library? This would be big into that? Think he'd be a big proponent of that? How do you think he'd feel about burning down cities and rioting and throwing Molotov cocktails at police and shooting people? How do you think he would feel about that? You know, Jesus definitely said, and she did bring it up, that it's harder. Of course, she stumbled her way through it, but it's, you know, that it's, you know, that it's harder for a rich man to pass through the kingdom of heaven than a camel through the eye of a needle. That whole Jesus line. But I don't remember Jesus saying that we should steal their wealth and redistribute it. I know that Jesus thought that you should give of your own volition, that you should give of your own free will. I know that Jesus said, you know, to the rabbis when he said, you know, when you didn't feed me, when you didn't clothe me, and they asked, well, when didn't we feed you, Jesus? When didn't we clothe you? When you didn't feed someone else or you didn't clothe someone else. So I know Jesus was certainly going to condone giving, but he certainly, I don't think, would condone stealing it from someone else to give, because I don't think stealing it from someone else and giving it away buys your way into the kingdom of heaven either. And then, of course, she retweeted from Ilhan Omar about talking about Amy Coney Barrett, where she said, let me be clear about this. If a Muslim woman was nominated to the Supreme Court, you would see Republicans lose their mind about her religious background. Sharia law would be trending right now. Well, I don't know if I can agree with that or not. It could be. You might have a lot of Republicans, you know, definitely weary about her religion. But I also think that that she would just be questioned on how her religious views would affect her interpretation of our Constitution. And if you're going to argue which religious tenets are more in line with the United States Constitution, Christianity or Islam, yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. I'd like to hear somebody call me about that. Go ahead. 914-205-5369. We only have a few minutes left, but I'd like to hear somebody call me about that, about the tenets of Islam being more in line with our Constitution than the tenets of Christianity. Or even just go ahead, call me up and say how this country is was not a Christian-founded nation. Give me that whole line. Although I will agree that the Constitution was written in a secular way, obviously. And it says that the state shall never create a church, even though it doesn't actually talk about separation of church and state, we understand the idea behind separation of church and state. But it certainly was founded by Christians that believed in God. Sure, some of them were deists, but they believed in one God, and either themselves or their families were Christian. You know, because thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal, and all of those commandments that Christians hold dear are certainly much more in line with the United States political system, our laws, and our Constitution. As opposed to, you know, like she's talking about Sharia law, where a lot of Muslims do believe that Sharia law is more important than man's law, especially practicing Muslims. And then, you know, you want to sit here and tell me, well, you know, only a couple of countries adhere to Sharia law completely, and most of them just follow parts of it. The mere fact that the religion was founded with Sharia law as part of their religion tells me all I need to know. The mere fact that Sharia law tells me it's okay to stone your daughter to death in a pit because she has sex before marriage tells me everything I need to know. You see, there's a fundamental disagreement between Christianity and Islam. Remember when Jesus Christ healed the Roman soldier before he was executed? And Allah told Muhammad to achieve peace through the sword and kill all the infidels. Even the most, what's the word I'm looking for? In my mind, when it comes down to Islam, even the most moderate Muslims in my mind, you know, it's almost like you're either a terrorist or a terrorist sympathizer. Because every Muslim that I speak to, when I speak about Islam, will tell me, oh, well, you know, I don't condone terrorism. But then I rarely hear them condemn it. And then if we start talking about Israel or the Jews or the West, I start to hear, but the Jews and Israel and blah, blah, blah. And I don't condone it, but I understand. Oh, okay. You understand. All right, awesome. Yeah, I don't understand blowing up a bunch of innocent people. I don't even understand when we do it, and we do plenty of that too. I certainly don't see a religion telling you it's okay to lop your wife's head off if she says something bad about the Quran or throw gay people off roofs. Not only do I not see it as, you know, being compatible with our laws and our Constitution, but I certainly don't see it being representative of what the left tells me they believe every day. Oh, and Joe Biden said the 56% of Americans that think they have it better. God, I'm sorry. I know that I just jumped into this out of nowhere, but it's just so funny to hear somebody say this. That the 56% of Americans that think they have it better under Donald Trump should not vote for him. Think about that. Hey, 56%. That's a good way to win an election, Joe. Tell 56% of the people not to vote for you. Now, real quick, before we go, we're going to talk about Comey Barrett. We're going to talk about, you know, the fact that Hirono asked her if she ever conducted a sexual assault. Have you ever conducted a sexual assault? First off, no implication of it, no mention of it. Nobody ever said anything like that. Nobody accused her of anything. They just can't get away from their playbook, not even for a second. They just, I mean, even a woman, family-oriented, God-fearing woman who's never had any accusation like that ever against her, you ask her, what kind of demented, insane person are you? And the hysterical thing about it is, and by hysterical, I mean crazy hypocritical. Didn't you guys have Bill Clinton speak at the DNC? guy who's been accused of rape or sexual assault 14 times, 76 trips to Pedophile Island, and who knows how many other, you know, extramarital affairs and every other dirtbag thing that this guy's ever done. And you're sitting here and asking this beautiful, wonderful Christian woman if she's ever been accused of or has she ever conducted a sexual assault? I mean, it's just, oh, God. Cory Booker asked her in front of her two black children, do you denounce white supremacy? I mean, Jesus Christ, what is going on in this country? Do you denounce white supremacy with the two black children sitting behind you over there? I mean, because you know what it is? It's not about if he cares if she denounces or if he doesn't know that she doesn't denounce white supremacy. Obviously, it doesn't need to be said. It's about power play. It's about forcing people to say what you want them to say. It's brainwashing. It's getting people to get down on a knee and throw their fist up in the air, whether they want to or not. It's pressure from the mob. It's the woke mob forcing you to say and think and feel the way they tell you to. It's a brainwashing tactic. Forcing people to believe what they want you to believe by shame and guilt. That's certainly not going to work with me. And that's pretty much all they have left at this point. I don't even know why we're having the hearings anymore. I think this lady's been put through enough for the past 2 days. Let's just vote and put her through. Who cares what they say? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk to you next week. Had a good time tonight. Had a lot of good calls. Want to hear your calls next week. Don't forget, give us a call, and remember our number, 914-205-5369. You can follow us on Blog Talk Radio if you sign up and make an account, or you could follow us on Facebook.
Science over fiction. We choose truth over facts. And so, folks, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by, go, you know the thing.